Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
The Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX and the free Odyssey app.
We are a country that loves to bet on horses. Every spring we track the three races of the Triple Crown. And every spring I always have the same thought. We're still doing this? Is Woodrow Wilson president? But people love the Triple Crown. The Kentucky Derby, where people bet on horses while they're dressed like characters from Gone with the Wind. It's like prom for gamblers.
For my old Kentucky home.
The 151st Kentucky Derby is tomorrow in Tennessee. And we are joined by Scott Jagow from the KMOX newsroom. He is our horse editor here at the station.
Yep. Unofficial.
And he's with us now.
And thank you, Scott. I actually just walked by our sinkhole editor.
Oh, you did?
Sean
he's
Malone.
Here.
Yeah, he's
oh, that's
out.
Right.
He's now on assignment. But
yeah.
This is our horse editor, Scott Jagow. Very specific news here at KMOX.
Yes. I have news, actually.
Oh.
I have news. Breaking news about the Kentucky Derby.
Oh.
Do you have the breaking news sound?
Breaking news sound, please.
Let's make this as official as possible. Because
sorry, I didn't prepare you for this.
There you go.
This
okay.
is breaking
so,
news.
Bob Baffert is back in the Derby after being suspended for a couple years.
Yeah, the cheater.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Not my
the
favorite
cheater
guy.
With the white hair.
Yes. And, of course, he's all over TV this morning because he's been the face of horse racing for a long time to the mainstream public. Anyway, one of his horses he has scratched out of the race, so he only has one left. But Rodriguez has been scratched, and he was one of the favorites. That means that the one horse that was on the also eligible list, Baeza, gets in.
Oh.
That should be noteworthy because Baeza is really good and could win this thing, even though as of this morning, he wasn't even in the race.
So, quick question. If he was so good and could win it, why wasn't he in the race?
Because he didn't have the number of points. The top 20 get in, and he had the 21st number of points.
Gotcha.
But he is an improving horse, and I think he has a chance to win. I will get to my picks here in a minute, but first I have gifts.
Oh,
I have official from this year Kentucky Derby glasses for all three of you.
Wait,
what?
Do we get to keep them?
You get to keep them, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
How did you do this?
It's magic. It's called the internet.
Oh, you bought them.
If you're watching on the StreamYard, he's holding up these very cool 151st Kentucky Derby glasses.
Yeah, and they have the names of all the previous winners of the Derby and the Twin Spires that represents Churchill Downs. It's a really pretty glass.
That's so, very cool, Scott. Thank you.
Kentucky Derby, happy Derby.
Is this, do you feel, okay, is this more exciting to you than if, say, the Bills are in the Super Bowl?
That is, gosh.
Because you know that's
really
going to end up bad.
Oh, so, okay.
So do you,
well,
do
yeah,
you
that,
feel
that's
good?
Good one. Yeah. I mean, at least I still have a chance, you know.
Right?
Tomorrow.
I mean, the Kentucky Derby is like the Super Bowl for anybody who's into this.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
It's a very
Except
cool event.
In the Super Bowl, if you pull a hamstring, they don't kill you.
Okay. All right. We're not going there.
Do they still?
We're not going there today. Okay.
They do not euthanize the horses if they get injured.
I don't. We're not going there. This is a celebratory day of the Kentucky Derby.
Why was Rodriguez scratched?
Because actually, in this case, sometimes it's the veterinarian that will see something. They're very, very concerned about this issue that you are trying to bring up here. But Baffert actually scratched the horse himself.
Oh.
Because he thought, okay, there might be something there. You know, they can feel their legs, and if there's heat in the legs, it might indicate a problem. So, if you go on the back stretch, you can see the trainers doing that all the time. They're checking their legs to see if there's any
interesting
heat. Yeah. So that might have happened, and Baffert said, nope, he's not ready to run.
So the heat would, like, it would signal inflammation or something, right?
Exactly.
I do think it's interesting because when you're looking at these thoroughbred horses, it really is, I think, as close as you get to human athletes in the sense of the way you treat them, look at their injuries, look at their health. It really is. I mean, think of an Olympic sprinter. Think of anybody who you are making sure their arm's okay, their leg's okay, whatever it is. It's almost like they're people.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, though, they can't talk. And that's the one issue that people bring up is they can't express how they're feeling in their leg. So that's why the veterinarians and the trainers are very diligent about this subject. And for another time, we can talk about, you know, the problems of the past, but they are very diligent, especially right now and especially on Kentucky Derby Day. So there is a horse that's out. Another one gets in. And some of the storylines I'd like to point out, we do have, again, Baffert being back. That's one. His horse is the number one post position, and he's going to go out to the lead, no question. There are other horses, though, that want to go to the lead in this race. And sometimes you get a lone leader, and he can slow down the pace, and that gives him a better chance to win. In this race, I see it the other way. I see that they're going to go really fast at the beginning of the race, which is going to give an advantage to the horses that like to be at the back of the pack and that come running late. So that's why I'm focused on horses that have a closing style, as we call it, coming down the stretch. They're going to be, you know, back, and then they're going to try to pass horses late to win the race.
Quick note. Yep. When you brought up the horse that got in because of the scratch, Rich Strike was one of those
horses.
Got in because of a scratch, and then it was like 80-1 odds, and then
exactly.
won.
Number 21 horse. And Baeza will be the 21 horse in this race, outside post position. But this horse is really good, so look out. He's not going to be 80-1, I can guarantee you that. Other storylines, a Japanese horse still hasn't won the Kentucky Derby. They've come close last year. Forever Young finished third by a hair. There are two Japanese horses in this race. Yeah, one of them has won four races in a row. I don't know what to think about them. I don't think they're as good as the horse that was in last year. The favorite is Journalism, about 3-1, 7-2. I'm probably going to play against Journalism. Because I've seen horses like him before come into the Derby, and the bettors like to – he's got big speed numbers, right? But he hasn't faced that many horses. He's been running against five-horse fields, and now he's in a 20-horse field. And if you don't get a good trip, as they call it, it's difficult to win. Things have to go perfect.
Is it because it gets crowded?
Yes.
And they have a hard time maneuvering?
Yes, exactly. So I've been watching the races – and all the previous races, and just looking for horses that I think are showing improvement and could surprise tomorrow. Yeah. So I do have one, and he would be bucking a trend of the entire Derby history. 151 years, no horse that has not won a race previously has won the Kentucky Derby. There is, they call him a maiden. A maiden is a horse that's never won. This horse is 0-7 coming in. Again, been done before, but it's going to be my pick for the Derby. I think it's going to be the first time in history that a maiden wins the Derby and at least hits the trifecta, I'm hoping, because he's 30-1.
What's his name?
Publisher.
Publisher.
So there's a horse called Journalism and Publisher?
Yes.
Not related?
No. No.
Well, that's really something.
Hey, quick weird note, but I'm sure I wouldn't have known this if we hadn't talked to you last year. When you talk about the Japanese horses, you said that one of the issues is just like traveling.
Well, that is an issue,
right?
Yeah.
That's like a big issue for these horses. Like, they train, live in Japan, and then they have to make the trek here. Does mm-hmm. that affect their racing?
Absolutely, it can. Some horses like to travel. Other horses don't. I mean, they...
do we know that if they can't talk?
Well, because they get off the plane and win the race. That's how you know. If they finish last, they probably didn't like it. It's very simple.
Do horses have to get the real ID?
What if a horse loves to travel? He was just slow.
Well, that's possible. Yeah. But I'm just saying there are horses that travel frequently and win races, so it's not adversely affecting them to be on an airplane.
Ron just laughed. I thought you thought they took a boat.
Did I?
I didn't say that. Because you asked about seasickness.
I did not.
Hey, did.
There's a horse called Render Judgment. Yes. Amy, is that yours?
Mine is Judgy.
Yeah, close enough.
Hey, quick question too. Are there any fillies in this field?
Nope, not this year.
Okay. Is there usually just one or two or no?
It's very rare that there are fillies in the Derby these days.
Really? What if,
it's weird though, weird. Because around the world, fillies and colts race against each other all the time. Mm-hmm. In the United States, it doesn't happen very often.
But is that just because of performance? Because obviously, if a filly could keep up, wouldn't they?
I just think it's it's sort of a cultural thing, a traditional thing. Here, it happens. It just doesn't happen very often.
Was there one filly winner? Sorry.
No.
Sorry, Ron. No fillies ever won the Derby? Oh.
If I bought a filly and I named it Bryce Harper, do you think people would get it?
That is pretty good, actually.
What if you named it a Fanatic? Fanatic. Philly
the Fanatic.
Right.
That's Fanatic the Philly.
Yeah. That's good.
Adorable, Dad. Here
I
comes
like
Fanatic,
that.
And because it's a Philly.
Has there ever been a horse named Fanatic?
I'm sure like there probably has. I think we did this a couple years ago.
We did. No, we did it last year.
I do have to say this. We did this last year. This has actually bothered me. It keeps me up at night. I made up like horse names, and I asked Scott, is this a horse? And he'd be like, yes. And I'm like, no. And he got like 10 wrong, and actually I was wrong on all 10. somehow I was wrong. Somehow they were horses. He's like, that's the one that won 2 years ago, and you just told me it wasn't a horse. I've felt bad about that since.
The whole year you felt bad about that?
Yes, I think. Well, I actually thought about it recently.
I think you should let it go at this point.
Well, because I feel like I discredited your name. Anyway, this guy knows what he's talking about.
To some extent, it's also, it's going to be fun, though. I love the pageantry around mm-hmm. the Derby, and it's 160,000 people, and I've been to a dozen Derbies, and the experience I've had is different at every one. One time I got to walk across the track before the race with one of the horses, and he won the Derby an hour later.
Oh, wow.
California Chrome was his name.
That's
that
pretty cool.
was a cool experience to walk right next to him.
Why did you get
cool.
to do that?
Because I was doing a story and the trainer allowed me to walk with his group, and that was cool. It's amazing to be on the track and look up at that crowd and hear the noise, and then the electricity before the gates open, the crowd goes crazy. It's 160,000 people, and it's just the anticipation builds, and then the gates thunder open, and then it's over in 2 minutes.
Hey, Scott, I saw this, and maybe it will change, but it looks like it could rain.
Always looks like it could rain in Louisville on the first Saturday in May, fortunately.
Rain racers?
The Mutters.
His mutter was a mutter.
His mutter was a mutter.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
His Seinfeld.
Fodder was a mutter.
Yeah, that's right. What did I just say?
Yeah, no, I haven't actually looked too closely at that because I think the weather is going to be pretty good.
Do you? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But yeah,
that's what exciting. And you're right. But there are races like all day long. Right?
Yes. They start in the morning. Yeah. There's about 14 races. And today's Kentucky Oaks Day, which is the Phillies. So that's the Billy Philly race.
Oh.
And if you buy a ticket to the Derby, you get tickets to the Oaks too.
If I went to the Oaks all day long, I'd be telling people I'm going to go see the Phillies.
They're at home against the Diamondbacks tonight. In case you wanted to. Scott,
yes,
you went to a place. Is there something else with the Derby you want to get to?
Well, I just wanted to give a shout out and say hello to my friend Bruce. I'm looking forward to him watching the Derby tomorrow. He's a huge horse racing fan.
Nice. Bruce.
What's up, Bruce?
Hey, Bruce. Going to have a good time tomorrow.
Isn't it Don't Let Me Down, Bruce? Isn't that the song?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
ELO, baby.
Yeah, ELO. Don't Let Me Down, Bruce.
All right. So we had a chance not that long ago to talk to somebody with Yuppie Puppies, and that's where you went for Roaming St. Louis this weekend.
I did. That place is crazy. They've got every service for dogs. I mean, they have a hotel, spa, grooming, training. It's nuts. And just, you know, you go in there, and of course, there's dogs barking all over the place, but I've got cute pictures, too.
You have cute pictures?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw an Akita mix that I really liked named Swiss.
Aww. Oh, that's adorable.
White. Beautiful. Because I have a white Akita myself.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I was about to ask if you had a dog.
Yep. A white Akita.
You should name him Chiquita, like the bananas.
Actually, her name is Mika.
Mika Akita.
Mika Akita.
You could also have Chica Akita. Chiquita Akita. I don't know.
What was your favorite thing about Yuppie Puppies?
It's a gorgeous facility. I mean, I was just so impressed with how, you know, clean and beautiful it was. And it's a rescue as well, and they adopt out dogs.
Yep.
But the rescue portion of it, they take in a lot of dogs who belong to people who are terminally ill.
Right.
And you know, it's
a really cool
part of it is a nonprofit. And of course, to run a facility like that, it has to be profit too. So,
right.
But Jessica Cook, you talked to her. She's a really cool person.
That is very cool. So that's three. That's Roaming St. Louis. You'll have three good things this weekend.
Yep. And chat with Stu Mack. We're talking about the book fair.
And heard that you have a special guest.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Pajeski.
A guy over here. Pajeski. It was pretty enjoyable conversation because Stu is a freak about books.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
He's way into old books. Yeah. Like old wooden ships.
So like physical
old
books.
Wooden ships? Wait, what?
Anchorman.
Yes.
Old wooden. I believe Diversity is an old wooden ship.
Yes.
Amy's seen Anchorman hundreds of times, right?
Amy, you know what San Diego
means?
That's
not your thing.
I do know what I've only seen. I've only seen that part. Clips. I know what that is, okay. But I don't know the old wooden ships.
So Sunday, Scott Jagow's got three good things: Roaming St. Louis, chat with Stu Mack,
lots of other stuff. 6:30 to 9:30,
and the Kentucky Derby. Can I have your hat instead of the glass?
No.
Okay. That's Scott Jagow from the KMOX newsroom. He's real stingy. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
So Blues game 6 tonight at Enterprise
game
Center.
Six.
Game 6. Yesterday, the breaking news was that the Winnipeg Jets leader, Mark Scheifele, did not make the trip to St. Louis.
Uh-oh.
He will not be playing in game 6. Now, in game 5, he was absolutely rocked by Braden Schenn, but he played 4 shifts after that, about over a minute per shift. And then he was rocked by Faxa. And he didn't come back after that for the next period. And there's been some talk like, oh, was Braden Schenn's hit dirty? And Scott Arneil of the Winnipeg Jets took issue with the Blues coach Jim Montgomery, who had said like, well, Scheifele didn't go off the ice after Schenn's hit. He went off the ice after Fox's hit.
Well, I didn't know Monty got his medical degree. I'm trying to say how our player got hurt. He's way off base. Should not make that comment. There's some things that have been going on in this series, and that was a repeat of what we've seen before. A player leaving his feet and then hitting a player in a very unprotected spot, like hitting them in the sense almost blindsiding them. Not happy how the call was made. 2-minute minor. Not even looking at it is what I was upset about. And it is something that we have talked to the league about for 5 games.
Okay, a couple things on that. It sounds like whiny from Scott Arneal. And you can say, okay, that Shen hit should have been looked at. That's fine. I'm guaranteeing you, if you look at all the hits in the playoffs so far, that's not in the top 10, even close of being the dirtiest hit. One, when coaches talk like this in the playoffs, I think they are trying to bring attention to it, want the referees to hear, want them to know, hey, this is an issue, or we want you to be aware of this. Two, he mentioned Mark Scheifele's vulnerable position. Mark Scheifele had his head down. He had the puck, which means you're fair game to be hit. Then he passed the puck, dropped it behind him, and he was looking down. That's, you got to keep your head up. You got to keep your head on a swivel. If you are looking down at a player coming up behind you, or you're admiring your pass and you get hit, that's on you. It was a 2-minute penalty on Braden Schenn. I think maybe, you know, it's, you add a little bit for charging. You could, I guess. To me, that one could have gone either way because Scheifele had his head down. They're saying Braden Schenn left his feet. I would say he was driving forward. So it could be debated, but it was not like this is a dirty hit that's been going on all
series.
Scheifele
didn't have the puck in that moment, though, did he?
He had just passed it. He kept his head down. He was looking down.
Okay.
So if you're already in the process of getting ready to hit someone and then they pass, you're going to get hit.
Yeah, I don't know. I can see where they're coming from, though. It's not completely outlandish.
No, and that's what I said. I think it's worthy of discussion. Yeah. But he was implying that like the Blues have been playing dirty this whole series. That's not true. It's been an incredible
series. If it were flipped and Braden Schenn had gotten hit like that, I guarantee you we'd all be freaking out.
Well, I will say I don't know because there was a hit.
I think the fan base would for sure.
Well, reason why I'm saying that is because there was a hit. Was it on Kyrie a couple games ago? And we were all like, wow, that was a great hit. It was a clean hit. And our guy got rocked and we're like, wow, that was a good hit. The fan base didn't complain. Also, when Bolduc got speared, it was an intentional spear where the sun don't shine. That didn't get called. I'm just saying it's playoff hockey. Don't be whiny about it. I think it was Kyrie. I'm trying to have to find that hit. And guess what Blues fans said? Wow, that was a good hit. And Kyrie got rocked.
Yeah, we'd see. I don't know, man. I don't know.
I think more highly of the Blues fan base than you do, I think.
No. I'm talking about fans in general. They would look at this hit and think it was dirty. I guarantee you. Amy Marks Corps, Chris Ranji. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dale Schilly, who is the Academy Director for City SC, also broadcaster on Y98. They've got a game tomorrow against Seattle. He's next on KMOX.
That's all she wrote. Clock will freeze at 98.01 after 90 total minutes of regular play and 10 total minutes of Enterprise stoppage time. This game ends in a 2-2 tie.
With the sad music after a tie. Okay.
Can't tell if it's the Masters or something sad just happened.
This is a tragedy. That's what that is. This is the tragedy music.
It's 80% tragedy, 20% we're at the Masters.
Chris and Amy show on 104.1 FM KMOX. We have tickets to give away to see Alabama, the band.
Not the state.
Yeah, they're playing in Ridgedale coming up toward the end of the month, and we have a pair of tickets. Got to be listening for your chance to win. But right now, we go to the guest line. We welcome in the Academy Director for City SC. Also, he is on the radio broadcast on Y98. Dale Schilly joins us this morning on KMOX. How's it going, Dale?
It's going great. And at that game, we heard everything but that kind of music. I did feel like I was watching the Masters, by the way.
It did feel that way a little bit. So, let's go back to the last one because that was an exciting finish. You know, the City takes the lead with just a couple of minutes left to go. Then you get to stoppage time and they allowed a tie, which was pretty frustrating if you were watching, especially what happened defensively on that play.
Yeah, you know, so much of the game is transition. So that moment where you lose or win the ball and you go in one direction or the other. And in that moment, we lost the ball in the middle third of the field at a time of the game where you just can't give the ball away. And LA just has so much firepower, and Denny Bwanga eventually got the pass and converted the opportunity. Just hard to deal with. And yeah, it's a tough pill to swallow because you had 3 points in your grasp, and to get that in LA would have been monumental. But yeah, giving the ball away in transition, it's a hard one.
Well, and you mentioned Bouanga. He had that penalty kick in the game, and the Ben Lunt, City's goalkeeper, makes a save, which is pretty unusual. The odds are against you in a penalty kick situation like that.
Yeah, it's nearly, you know, the percentages are certainly with the shooter, especially a guy of Bouanga's quality. He hit it pretty well, but Ben had a really good beat on it, went the right direction, which is, you just don't know if he was guessing or if he read something in Denny's body language or looked at his eyes before he took a kick. You have no idea. Ben gets onto it, makes a really good save, and makes it comfortably. And I believe at that point it was 1-1, and that allowed us to stay in the game and go up 2-1. And you know, all of us were thinking, boy, we just have to see this out. And yeah, then the tables turned.
Going back to just a goaltender and guessing on a penalty kick like that, or I guess even in the middle of play, I'm, you know, hockey background, thinking of a guy like a Jordan Binnington, who we always say has a lot of swagger and goal. He comes out in his crease. He's an educated scrambler, educated guesser when it's a two-on-one, an odd man rush, which is part of his swagger as he takes angles away. And I know it's a very different sport, but how does that work with goalkeepers in soccer, how deep or how shallow they play in front of the goal and taking out angles, which I know is different than a penalty kick, but how can you kind of give us some context for how a goaltender might approach those things?
Well, I think you have to look at the goalkeepers have to look at what their strengths are and you know, what they're comfortable with. Roman Berkey is really comfortable playing high up off his line because he's so athletic and he's got such good foot skills. And really, I mean, had he trained normally, I would assume he would have been a successful field player. You know, Jesse is a successful goalkeeper. Ben plays a little bit deeper, but Ben's got a 6'6" frame. And so he's not quite as agile as Roman is. Roman's probably 6'1". You know, Ben can play a little bit deeper, deal with some crosses and handle the game a little bit differently that way. So you just got to play to your strengths you know, Roman's got a different set of tools than Ben does, but certainly, you know, you can play like a Jordan Binnington and come out of your crease and play higher up the ice in that situation where he's a little more of a scrambler. I would say Roman has a little bit more of that in his game than Ben does.
Talking to Dale Shilley here on 104.1 FM. So City is right now in the 12th spot in the Western Conference. The team they're going to play tomorrow is 3 points ahead of them and holding on to that final playoff spot. So this is a big set of points here that City could take advantage of if they can get a win. What is the deal with Seattle? What kind of team are we looking at here, and how difficult is this one tomorrow?
It's a tough one. Seattle is a perennial favorite in the conference, much like LAFC. They're a little bit different in that they're more of a possession-oriented team, so you're going to see them on the ball for long stretches of time for, you know, 20, 25 passes, consecutive passes, and try to find their way in that way, which in some ways plays in for us because they're not overly athletic. Don't play on the counterattack like LAFC can. So they may force us back a little bit. We may have to be in a little bit of a defensive shell, and we'll have to pick our moments to be able to come out and catch them on the counterattack, or maybe we can win something higher up the field. But they'll be more possession-based than what Los Angeles was. They're very good. They've been sputtering, though. They haven't been in great form over the last few weeks. So this is the right time to catch them. We played them about a month ago, earlier in the year, beat them 1-0 here. So this is a chance, I think, for us to get back into a position where we're in striking distance of the playoffs.
So City has played 10 games. Well, I guess every team has played 10 games.
Yeah.
At this point of the year, with really a lot of soccer left to go and getting a better idea of what this team is under a new head coach with some new faces, should this be a playoff team?
I would say, it's a team that's probably destined to be in that 6-12 spot towards the bottom third of the playoff range to just outside the playoff. It's just a matter of, can we continue to create more chances and goal scoring opportunities while keeping the other team off the board? That's where we got exploited the other day. Whenever we got higher up the field and looked like we had a chance to score, we were more vulnerable in giving up a chance. So that's, I think that's the big question for us. I would say, bottom third of the playoff spots versus just outside the playoff. We'll see a little bit more when we get some of the regulars back into the lineup that are now out training and trying to get themselves fit to get back into regular rotation into the lineup.
Dale, looking at just Major League Soccer right now, just a broader view, who are some of the most dynamic teams right now that you say, wow, their offense, they're fun to watch?
Yeah, I would say LAFC is one that's always fun to watch, just perennially because of the attacking power they have. Vancouver, who we saw in here a couple weeks ago that we drew with 0-0, just advanced to a big regional event championship, something called the Champions Cup, where they beat Inter-Miami down in Miami. I think the final was 4-1 or 3-1. And so now they'll play one of the Mexican powers for the championship here of what's called CONCACAF, which would be, Canada, Central America, the Caribbean, and the U.S. So Vancouver's been really good. Philly had a good start to the year. Columbus is always fun. Cincinnati. I would say those are, the five or six top teams across both conferences here in the MLS.
Yeah. So this is, it's clearly a different league, at least a little bit of a different league from when City came in a couple of years ago. Just organizationally, looking at where City is, it takes a bit to establish yourself. They came right in winning and, getting into the playoffs right away. Then last year was sort of an opposite. This is kind of in the middle somewhere. But as an organization, how well do you believe City has established itself in the league?
Yeah, I think the beginning, that first year, we caught a few breaks early. I think we caught some people sleeping. Maybe they didn't put their best foot forward. Until we started to, gain some of the respect. And I think also when we had such a good start that we kind of didn't see some of the warts that we had and some of the situations that we had to deal with because of the favorable results. And, the old adage that winning cures a lot, I think was part of what we had to live through. I think that when teams come to play here, they know that they're in for a game. They know that it's difficult. They also know that right now we're in a little bit of a downturn, but they also know as an organization that that we've got top-rate fans, a top experience in the stadium. Teams love to come here and play because of the atmosphere, because of the history of soccer here in the community, because of the success that we had in year one. It's a good place to come and play. So I think we've established ourselves. We've got to build on it, but we've established ourselves.
All right, Dale Schilly, tomorrow, City SC plays against Seattle. 9:30 is the kick. That's when it gets started. So, we have to stay up late. And if you're doing a doubleheader tomorrow, if you're a sports fan in St. Louis, you're going to have to pace yourself. 1:15 Cardinals game tomorrow, and then 9:30 at night for City SC. So I believe in you, but you're going to have to pace yourself. You too, Dale.
Stay hydrated.
Yeah. Stay hydrated, Dale.
Dale, stay hydrated.
We don't want you getting blitzed before before they even start the match.
No adult beverages.
Right.
Until right before kick.
Then
you can have a couple if you want.
There you go.
Thanks, Dale.
Thank you.
Dale Schilly is the City SC Academy Director, and you can hear him call the game with Joey Zanaboni on Y98 FM. Hey, guess who else is on FM?
We are.
These guys right
1041 FM KMOX.
Dude, how great is it?
I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't. Wait a minute. I did.
You did see that.
I did
you
see
the
that
one
we're
that
on
brought
104.
It up. Yeah.
Wow. We're on 104.1 FM. Yeah. And did you see this is next? That's what Amy was talking about.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Ranj, I think this is something of a new fear unlocked. So the first driverless semi-trucks have started running regular long haul routes. So these are running routes between Dallas and Houston. It's a trucking firm called Aurora, and it launched its commercial service with two customers, Uber Freight and Hirschbach Motor Lines. And the thing is, before this, with all their test runs with these autonomous semi-trucks, they would have a safety driver in the truck just to make sure nothing went wrong. Those were called Aurora drivers. And now they're like, yep, we're good. No Aurora drivers. So these are fully autonomous semi-trucks long hauling between Houston and Dallas. Mm. And this terrifies me.
Yeah, I'm not into it.
Because even the Waymos or whatever they're called, the little self-driving cars.
I think it's Waymo.
Waymo.
Right?
The little self-driving cars. Yeah. Like a little Tesla. I don't want to have a run-in with that. But a fully loaded semi-truck with no human. I mean, you call me old-fashioned. I am. I'm old-fashioned. I like notebooks and papers, but this terrifies me.
I suppose if we get to a place where, and I you have to start somewhere, right? These have to be tested somewhere and tested in the real world. And 20 years from now, if this is what's happening everywhere, I guess we'll all get used to it. I don't like the implications of it for multiple reasons. One, I know human drivers screw up all the time. That's why we have accidents.
Mm-hmm.
But human drivers also, if they're paying attention, they understand nuance. I don't believe
they say that
driverless cars can. So
they
and
say
they're very easy to trick, it seems like.
They say these trucks can see like 4 football fields ahead. It's like, okay, but what's it going to do with that information? And it also says that now these trucks have driven 1,200 miles without the safety driver, without the Aurora driver, completely autonomously. And I would say that 1,200 miles is not nearly enough because it's 1,000 miles from here to Frisco, like when I drove to my ski trip. That, if I drove from here to Colorado one time and thought, I think we're good.
Yeah.
I feel like that's not enough practice.
The other thing is, we are going to have to figure out if automation takes over everything and artificial intelligence ends up doing jobs that humans have done, and we continue to make more humans, we are going to have to figure out what to do with everybody.
Well,
because it's unsustainable that all of these jobs get taken. People are going to have income. So if there are no more truck drivers, if there are no more gig economy drivers, you know, like Lyft or Uber, and they're all automated someday, we are going to have to figure out where all of these people work.
Well, and that's the thing. I'm not against all automation because there are some new jobs and definitely like in factories where the nature of how people work has changed. Obviously, more of us work behind computers now than in factories. And we've talked about this a lot. Most Americans, they don't necessarily want to work making clothing, right? When we're talking about the tariffs and going, well, where they're making the clothes in the factories in Vietnam, we're going to bring that here. I'm not against some automation, but to your point, with long-haul truck drivers, not only do I trust the human truck drivers more than the autonomous trucks, but the unions who represent truck drivers, not surprisingly, many of them are opposed to this driverless technology.
Amy, this story comes out of Memphis, Tennessee. Well, just outside of Memphis. And
Where the Kentucky Derby is.
It's not really a good story.
Oh.
It's not great.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a Friday and you're going to do this? You're really going to do this?
Jose Naranjo was charged with 47 counts of aggravated cruelty to animals.
Oh my gosh.
Because he was running a cockfighting ring.
Yeah.
I wanted to point out, okay, the only reason this story is interesting is because he was running a cockfighting operation out of a town called Nutbush. I'm not kidding. Nutbush is near Memphis. It's unincorporated. It's called Nutbush, Tennessee. And there was cockfighting going on there. That's all I have for you.
Nutbush City Limits? You know that song?
No.
Are you joking, Radio?
No, it's an Ike and Tina Turner song, and then Bob Seger covered it.
You're not joking?
Nutbush City Limits, yeah.
Is it about Nutbush?
I assume so.
Yeah. So, I just wanted you to be aware of that.
I think if you give him a name like Scooter, Scooter Nutbush could be a baseball player along with Booby Tassels.
Boy, what would Bob Hyland think? Also, one other thing, because the Kentucky Derby is tomorrow, officials in Kentucky have been pretty critical of the tariffs, including Republicans like Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul, but so has Governor Beshear. It has been announced by Churchill Downs that they are shelving what was supposed to be almost a $1 billion expansion of their facility because of the tariff. It was about $900 million. So they are putting that all on hold because of the tariffs, and it was supposed to lead to hundreds of jobs.
That's terrible.
If not thousands.
I wonder if those Japanese horses were tariffed.
That was a good question. I think there was a story about that. I didn't read it, but I saw the headline about how the tariffs will affect Japanese horses. I should go back and read that during the break. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. We need to go. Sorry about the Nutbush thing, but it's a real place in Tennessee.
It is.
Yeah, it is. Final hour of the show, mercifully, is next.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, we got to run a business and we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because I think most of us, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.